your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moye. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moye, your host, and welcome again back to a great show. Tonight, we're going to be talking to the CEO and the founder of Athletes Connection, and we're going to be talking about the athlete's transition from play day into the real world of business. Now, in the book, The Dynamic Path by James McCitron, he says that, in fact, there's a natural relationship between business and athletes, but finding that connection sometimes falls short, and you need some type of process in order to connect the two. But once connected, it's a gold mine. Again, using the secrets of their championship to succeed in business and life is a great story, of course, seeing what's been happening in corporate America now that could be helped. Now, I want to just quote to you something that a dear friend of mine, Nelson Mandela, said. He said, sports has the power to change the world. It has the power to inspire it. It has the power to actually unite people in a way that little else does. And sports can awaken hopes and dreams where actually none was actually there. It was, in other words, it gets rid of despair. Now, Nelson Mandela said that when he began to open up his new sports facility in, of course, South Africa, he is trying to bridge the gap between war and peace by bringing sports into the picture. It's great people like Nelson Mandela that are setting examples out there. And I want to send kudos to, of course, Peace and Sports, and, of course, that is our wonderful Prince Albert's organization that was launched in 2007 by Sports Maverick, an international initiative to actually build peace camps all the way around the world. And I understand at the Olympics he received a wonderful award there and acknowledged his first year in operation. Now, again, we talked about athletes being able to connect with businesses. Now, my guest tonight is Dan Cross. I want to take a moment and talk to you a little bit about Dan. Dan is not only a super athlete and was a standout at University of Florida in basketball, but he also in 2007 received the Regional SEC Business Hall of Fame Award. Now, this award that the region and SEC combined to give is given and recognized any former SEC student athlete who has excelled in amateur athletics and the business world. Now, that was quite an honor for him to receive that. But if you look at Dan and the various different things that he brought to the SEC, he also was a great standout athlete at the University of Florida. I'm just going to toot his horn a little bit before I bring him in here. Number one is, of course, you know, in 2001, of course, he did sign with an Italian Basketball Association, and he played after his career at Florida. But prior to that, Dan, of course, played from 1992 to 1995 and did graduate, was a senior. He was, of course, honorable mention, All-American as a junior. His senior year, he was first-team SEC. That's 1994 and 1995. In addition to that, Dan finished his career with quite a few honors. Ninth in the Gator all-time scoring, 1,451 points. Fourth in assists, 367. Second all-time three-point field goer, 137. And second in Gator all-time playlist, 128. And first in all-time steals, and one, that's 198. Now, again, with all these wonderful things, he's been great in business, great in sports, and then now he's chosen to take it to the next level. And he has started an organization, a nonprofit, called Athletes Connections. Without any further ado, I want to welcome Dan to our show. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you, Ida.
Well, Dan, this is quite an accomplishment for you. And then to turn around and to put your feet right back in there and start Athletes Connection. Tell me what it was that made you believe that this is something you should do. Was there a vision you had? Was it the circumstances you saw? What was it that triggered that made you say, okay, I got to do something in this area?
It didn't start out as a vision. I think as an athlete, you know, you always think that, you're on top of the world and that, you know, your day will never come to an end and you can play for the rest of your life. And that was my vision, is that I thought I would never get hurt. I was invincible and that I could play until I thought my career would end, and just being in control. And just through my own transition and my personal experiences, as well as the experiences of a lot of my colleagues and teammates throughout the state, throughout the country, throughout the world, I saw a need, and the need was, you know, what's next? What's next for the athlete that has prepared him or herself for their entire lives, whether it's high school, whether it's college, whether it's professional sports, and then try to figure out what it is that they want to do next. Who do they go to? What resources do they have with all the identifiable qualities and skills they have? How does this athlete now transition into the business world? What's next? And just through those experiences, through emotional experiences as well, and dealing with depression and a lot of other things that athletes don't like to talk about, I wanted to do something about it. No different than, you know, when I stepped on a court and my team was losing, or I wanted to help out with certain teammates. This is the same goal that I had in mind, is to help hundreds and thousands of athletes now transition from the sport that they love.
Let's talk a little bit about this, okay? Now, you've got right now, they say, there's over a million kids who play in, playing sports now. Okay, and I understand that Women's Sports Foundation had a goal that they would have a million women who would be involved in sports or in some kind of physical, activity, and their goal was to increase the numbers. And we see that because with, of course, Title IX, you have more women coming into the sports than ever before in greater numbers, and more sports opening up for that. But there is a declining level of participation the closer and closer you get to the professional ranks.
Right.
So you're playing in the NCAA Division I. Obviously, you can look around, and 30% of the people that you're looking at will make it to the pros, and the other, of course, 70% will not.
Yeah.
How did they prepare you for something like that? Was there ever any talk about that in the schools, what you would do? I know the new symbol of the NCAA is you will graduate from somewhere. You either graduate to a job or you graduate to, you know, the professional lifestyle. But what was it? Did they give you any kind of preparation for that?
There isn't any preparation, from what I know of, to help student athletes and even students transition from, you know, the best 4 years of your life to now, you know, transitioning to what's next. I think education does a good job of, or college does a good job of preparing students to work. But, you know, for student athletes, you know, our day consists of, you know, waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to study hall at the end of the day, which is around 8:30. So to think about anything else or life after sports, there really isn't a lot of time to prepare yourselves. You know, the game of college sports, is to win. And, you know, coming from the University of Florida and a lot of other universities, you know, jobs are on the line. Coaches' jobs are on the line, and, you know, you have athletic directors that are trying to build programs, and there just isn't a lot of time to help prepare student athletes for what they're going to do for the rest of their lives. It's about winning.
Now, a lot of times it's the glory. You hear the cheers and the, you know, the shouts and the screams and all of that. And it's kind of like I call it when you're in the ether of it.
Yeah, right.
But one of the things that I think, and you can bear this out for me, rarely does a student athlete participate in a lot of the non-sport activities on the campus.
No.
like your
right.
student government, or, you know, some of them don't even get the pledge,
right.
or actually even associate with others outside that are non-athletes. Is that right. pretty much the case?
It's very true, Ida. And again, it just goes back to the schedule and routine of a student athlete. You know, we wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to train. You know, by 7:30, you know, we're eating breakfast. By 7:45, you know, we're in class from 7:45 until, you know, approximately 12 o'clock. Then we have lunch from about 12:25 to 1 o'clock. Then we're back in class from 1 o'clock to about 2:30. Then we are at practice and, you know, training and weights and shooting before or practicing before. Then you actually have practice at about 3:30 to about 6:30. From 6:45 to about 7:15, we're eating dinner. From 7:15 to actually from about 7:30 to 8:30 is study hall or homework or studying for tests. And by 9 to 9:30, your day starts all over again. So to do anything else outside of that sport or what you have gone to college for, it's very tough to do. It's very tough to balance academics and sports. So that's why we, the university and athletic program, they try to equip us with as much resources as possible while we're in school to stay eligible, to help us win ball games, and help us to become the best athletes that we can be. Anything outside of that, you know, the mentality is that you're just not focused.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about, obviously, to get into college, you've got to be the best. Because I was evidently, out of that million, only maybe 30% make it to college and then get on the roster, I mean, in that respect, and even get to play. So you've got to be the best, okay? And you make that transition from being an ordinary athlete in high school to being an elite athlete, which obviously could be 50% of inheritance or 50% determination or 70% determination and all the rest, you know, grit. So there are some different, the natural direction that an athlete takes is different than, say, just the academic student who takes that route. And so oftentimes you're dealing with pleasing people. And I want to talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about families. We'll talk about relationships when we come back. Okay? This is Ida Moyet. You're listening to the Sports Mavericks Show. I've got with me here tonight Dan Cross. He is the president and CEO of Athlete Connections. And we're talking about transitioning from play day into the real world of business for athletes. Again, we'll be back in three.
And when you talk in circles,
the opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
the shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. Hicklin is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, The Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Ed, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
4.
Golf is not just a game. It's a global industry. If you're a PGE, that's professional golf enthusiast, tee off every Tuesday on The Green with Lounge 19. We'll feature interviews and tips from fascinating industry leaders, as well as take you to some of golf's most intriguing locales. Finally, an in-depth, interactive show that takes on the game and business of golf, as it is today and tomorrow. On The Green with Lounge 19, featuring your host Glenn Yopis, is heard live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Sports, IntensitySportsRadio.com, and Lounge19.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, your host, and you are listening to the Sports Maverick Show. Again, tonight in our studio, we have Dan Cross, President and CEO of Athletes Connections. It's a nonprofit organization that's designed to assist university and student athletes, former and current, in their transition from athletics to the workforce. And again, we're going to bring Dan back. And Dan, I want to welcome you back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Dan, what is the mission of Athletes Connection?
Our mission, again, is to prepare, educate, and employ student-athletes once their careers are over. I think there's an important piece in this, and we want to help mold the athletic qualities and personal attributes that develop candidates into successful positions and help them compete for their desired positions that they worked hard to try to accomplish. And it's very important that the qualities that these athletes possess, they know how to market themselves. Again, when it comes to, you know, how to manage their time, athletes are great at time management. You know, they're great at teamwork. We're goal-oriented. Athletes are competitive. They're confident, persistent, loyal, disciplined, you know, to take criticism. They're leaders. So a lot of qualities that these athletes possess that they may not even know of because they've done a particular thing or so well that, you know, now how do you now market yourself as the university or the agent or the coach has now marketed the athlete on the court or on the field?
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I've always said about athletes is that, and this is what I teach when I'm at the various different universities, is that you are the CEO of your wealth. That's health and wealth. You're the CEO of that. And just like a CEO prepares every single day for their business, how they do continuing education, they try to stay healthy, they work long hours, those are the same type of skills and preparation that an athlete has to use. So I always try to tell them, you're the CEO. You think of yourself as a CEO. Now, I want to talk a little bit about just the dynamics. Different sports have different dynamics to it. For instance, just since 2006, you could go directly from high school into the pros in basketball. And then, of course, if you go to a Division I school, you have to, of course, you know, wait until, you know, at least 1 year now removed from high school. But before, it was different. Of course, you had a lot of immature people who never even had the college experience coming out and then found themselves getting injured and having to fall by the wayside. And a lot of times we hear about a lot of behavior problems that ensue after that. But then we go back to football, and football, if you go Division I, you have to stay at least 3 years before you can go into the pros. And I don't think that they're going to change that anytime soon because they view that as probably one of the most dangerous sports as far as, you know, health experience-wise.
Right.
But then you look at baseball, where if you don't go to a Division I, you're already in the pros in junior college. So let's talk about the fact that you have some statistics about from high school to college to the pros, how this kind of works itself out.
Bottom line is, If you put all your marbles in one basket, Ida, you're most likely to hit a brick wall once your career is over. Whether it's injury, whether it's just disappointment, whether it's being cut from a team. So I'll just give you some examples of how many athletes start out playing a particular sport to how many athletes end up playing a particular sport. Let's start with football, since football season is right around the corner. There's an estimate from the NCAA that says approximately 1 million high school student athletes start out playing football. By their senior year of high school, that drops all the way down to 134,000. 306,000 student athletes. So from 1 million freshmen student athletes, high school student athletes, now down to 300,000 high school student athletes. By their freshman year of college, there's only 61,000 student athletes playing football. By their senior year, 13,000 student athletes are playing college football. How many get drafted out of the 13,000? How many get drafted out of the million and started out their freshman year? An estimated 250 student athletes. So you have a big pool of student athletes that have played a particular sport that don't get drafted, that have worked just as hard as the next person or maybe just as talented. So this pool of athletes are now looking for what's next, and that's what we want to now become, is a resource for all these student athletes that have had the goal, have had the vision to become professional athletes and have not made it or have fallen short. So let's work on our degrees. You know, let's work on what's next. Let's work on a change of mentality to where we can focus on all these strengths, not the weaknesses, but the strengths that we have as athletes, and apply them now to what we're going to do for the rest of our lives.
Now, I have a question that just came over on an email. And this email is sent by a gentleman from Colorado, and he says, his name is Peter. Peter says, should athletes be paid in college, since when they leave college, they can't get jobs?
That's a good question, and I don't know if I can realistically answer that question, just because that has a lot to do with the rules and regulations that the NCAA provides, and that changes from year to year. I think the most important thing, I can answer this, that the athlete needs to make sure that he or she gets his or her degree.
Okay.
That's the most important thing. That's worth at least $80,000. You know, the questions and the arguments now are, you know, the student athletes are generating so much money in college sports, over $1 billion in college sports, that, you know, there are a lot of athletes that come from poor environments and different backgrounds and don't have the money to even afford toothpaste and a lot of the essentials. So in that case, should there be some type of stipend? I agree, there should be some type of stipend. But, you know, how much money, that's really not a debate that I choose to get into.
Well, I know it's an age-old debate, and I just want to thank Peter for that question.
Yes,
it's an age-old debate that we've been talking about, and I think in order to get paid, they'd almost have to declare college as professional in order for that, and I don't see that happening anytime soon, because you're supposed to go to college to get a degree. Okay,
you're right.
But you play sports because that's a great avenue to get a degree, you know, because you're playing for the school, so they give you a degree. So the question is that degree worth money? Absolutely. And if you choose to leave in your third year or choose to leave 1 year removed from college, then that's kind of like on you, I think. Because it's there for you to get. So,
it is.
But we'll be arguing about that for on. But thank you, Peter, for your question. Okay.
One more thing with that, Ida, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Peter is on the line. Is, I think we're getting down to words and debating over words. So I believe paid might not be the correct word to use, but maybe a stipend or some type of allowance are more friendly, user-friendly type of words that may go over more well with debates and discussions.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm sure they'll have to go through the NCAA rules and also go to the state, the various different states as well, and then to the border regions before anything of that can be done. So, Peter, if that's something that you think you might want to be looking at, then I'm sure there's a lot of white papers out on there, and it's a great idea, and we thank you for your contribution to Sports Maverick tonight. Dan, you know what? You believe in teamwork, and clearly, in order for you to make athletes' connection successful, you had to build a team. Yes. And I believe you got two teammates with you tonight. I'll give you the honors of introducing them.
Okay. Dr. Sinitsky is one of my teammates and a very experienced sports psychologist, and has been doing this, has been in the sports field for a while, was a former tennis player, and played professionally for a little while, and now I was dealing with student athletes and helping them with the emotional transitions, and he just has a lot of experience just when it comes to the transition of the athlete, and he's helped helped Athlete Connections, you know, write a workbook, and just so happy to have him a part of our team as well. And then the other young lady is a former Florida Gator gymnastic player that attended University of Florida a few years back, and proud to always have former Gators of a part of our team, and she's now a therapist, a family therapist as well, and has a lot of experience when it comes to the transition of sports from a different side, from the woman's point of view, which, you know, I can only speak so much about, but when you get a team that is diverse as ours and, you know, can bring different experiences, that always is a benefit to our organization, and she's also helped us, you know, helped Athlete Connections write this workbook that we're putting out to student athletes to help them prepare for life after sports. So definitely happy to have both of them a part of it.
Well, welcome, Dr. Sinitsky and Jackie. I want to welcome you to the show.
Good evening.
Thank you so much.
Good. I hope that you've been listening to some of our great questions coming over from our listeners here. One of the questions that I have right now, and panel, I'll let you just, you know, chime in on this. There's a dynamic path in sports from high school, college to the pros. And that path sometimes can be a very accelerated path. It can be a very linear path, or it can be a short circuit path, and we've seen all shapes and sizes in that respect. What I want to talk about now is that what is the psyche that an athlete develops in order for them to, number one, move from the high school to the college level, you know, and to the elite level? Because there's some psyche that goes on here. Now, I've had on my show a lot of psychologists and counselors who feel that, you know, there's more that's done with motivation for these athletes versus counseling them on deep-seated problems, you know, family problems, relationship problems, and sometimes sports mirrors that, or else it will simply hide it, and it becomes something that's in the background, and then it becomes very dynamic later on in that respect. So we're going to come back in about 3 minutes after our break here, and we're going to talk about those dynamics, and I hope you stay with us. Again, this is Ida Moye, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
And when you talk in circles,
the opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
At Last, a program for football wives. Join life coach Lanier Turner-Frazier every week for Football Wives Who Win. This program will unite and shine the spotlight on football wives on all levels and recognize football wives for their personal achievements and professional accomplishments. This empowering and motivational talk show will tackle some of the hard-hitting issues and challenges faced by football wives and provide insight, inspiration, and encouragement for wives to become the winners they are destined to be. Join life coach Lanier Turner-Frazier for Football Wives Who Win every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
If you love sports and like food, or like sports and love food, or are anywhere in between, Sports Bites might just become one of your favorite ways to spend your lunch break. Broadcasting Thursdays at 12 o'clock noon on the West Coast, it's Sports Bites with Chef Di, a delicious, enlightening, and entertaining mix of sports, food, and celebrity athletes.
Yummy.
Don't miss Sports Bites with Chef Di, Thursdays at noon on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and I have some dynamic guests in my studio tonight. I have with me Dan Cross, President and CEO of Athletes Connection, and I also have Dr. Harold Shinisky, who is also international speaker, presenter, private practice in Tampa, mental health correspondent for ABC Television, and currently consult for several state, county, as well as public schools and independent schools with development of adolescent prevention initiatives, and also Jackie Williams, of course, who is from Heathrow Counseling Center, marriage and family therapist. Gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, at the beginning of our break here, I talked about that dynamic path that an athlete takes, and the theory is that athletes come in different shapes and forms. Some leave 1 year removed from high school. Some leave the third year in college, and others go to the fourth year. Other ones particularly usually go to junior college and never even go to, say, a Division I school. Particularly you see that in baseball. So there are choices that are being made to play sometimes versus to actually get an education. And that seems to be something that is obviously in dispute right now between whether or not there should be a express to the pros versus developing the mind as well as the physicality of these athletes. But it has been said that oftentimes that athletes do not get a chance to address key issues that they bring to the table, relationship things, image issues, family relationship issues. Some kids come to school, they have children already. And these things sort of get kind of shuffled around with all the leadership and all the hoopla and all the glory. And that obviously creates certain dynamics in the athletes. So, Dr. Shinisky, talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's an excellent question. I think we have a number of concerns there, one of which is I always try to emphasize, and I know Dan and Athletes Connection really pushes the idea that it's student-athlete, student-first, athlete-second. But here you are saying when we take an elite athlete at a young age and we have them receive such focus, attention, and accolades that they may not necessarily address these issues that are so important and truly the whole development of them as a person. And what ends up happening is they move quickly through the system just based on their athleticism. They really don't focus on these other qualities that really make up who they are as an adult. And if they don't get the opportunity as they mature, they unfortunately fall further behind once they enter into the real world, since we know that 99% of the student athletes are going to go pro in something other than their sport. So we really need to, as you're saying, point out that there are aspects that need to be addressed. Relationships, goal setting, being able to make proper decision making, understanding just the basics of life from interviewing skills and image conscious, all of those are vital, but unfortunately don't get to be a priority if the system pushes them through and if that's the only thing they focus on.
So in creating the workbook for Athletes Connection, how are you addressing those things?
It's a delightful point. The specific topics that are covered within the workshops address issues that we're talking about here, and they actually break it into understanding what it's like to create a resume, what skills does someone naturally possess, which then can translate into a job. How do you develop interview skills? Can you get a mentor that's out there in the professional business world? How do you actually understand getting yourself, as you said, you're the CEO of a corporation? I tend to call it Plan B rather than Plan A, which is usually that of sports. But like we're saying, if 99 out of 100 don't go pro in their sport but go pro in something other than the sport, it's not Plan B, it's really Plan A. So the skills are taught in these workshops, and they're done both from educating the young adults on the importance of them, but also a lot of skill development. Very interactive. It's fun and engaging, but it gives them the skills that they need.
Now let's talk about preventive measures. We have a lot of parents listening tonight, and we also have athletes and coaches listening tonight. Preventive-wise, what are some of the things you think that parents should, number one, arm themselves with enough information prior to college that will at least make sure that they can ensure that the goal is education as well as sports? It's a joint goal. What can parents do? Because I will tell you my experience is a lot of parents, particularly if they don't live close to the school, they will bring the kid to college and drop them off and expect the coach to rear them. And they expect the coach to protect them. They expect the coach to be able to be almost like a surrogate father or a mother to these athletes. So if you were talking to a group of parents right now, what would you tell them how to prepare themselves and how they should stay involved with this process to ensure success not only on the field but off the field?
Would you like me to handle that one?
Yes. That's for you, right. Dr. Shemisky.
I like that you are bringing it to an earlier stage. I think that's great. We're hitting college students right now, but you are right. It needs to be addressed at an earlier, what oftentimes referred to as upstream versus downstream interventions. If we can give the youngsters and their families a better understanding of what aspects about self-esteem, goal setting, decision making, all of which are needed in life and other personality characteristics at a younger age, we're probably the more likely to give them the skills that are going to make them successful in life rather than just focusing on one's athleticism. And so catching them early is important. And I think that's one of the keys for parents, that they get involved rather than, here we are saying, they're dropping their child off and hoping that the coach, and in many cases, becomes a surrogate parent, who's a wonderful mentor, role model, and guide. But that cannot be the point where we hope it all starts. It really does need to start much earlier in life.
Well, let's just kind of shift a little bit here, and I'm going to bring Jackie in. Jackie, you have had an opportunity to actually witness some of the mental challenges that many athletes face before and during after, say, competition. And so you've seen some dynamics that obviously go to the question of, you know, struggling with relationship-type conflicts, self-esteem issues, depression, anxiety, behavioral problems, poor body images, and eating disorders. So if you were talking to those parents out there right now, what kind of things would you tell them to look for in their kid so that they could actually prevent some of these from spilling over in to them getting cut from the team or obviously not making it to the next level?
Mm-hmm. That's such a great question, and I think it's really needed. Something that I work a lot in my practice with parents, and we're really working to enforce through athlete connections, is that what Dr. Shininsky was talking of the student and the athlete, their sense of identity, really exploring their sense of student, their sense of self, and their sense of identity in terms of being an athlete. There's so much more to the individual besides the athlete. One thing that parents can also do is extend their sense of support system so that it's not on the coach, that the coach isn't doing everything. If you expand that support system, thinking systemically, there's the mom, there's the dad, there's the caretaker, you can bring in anything, anyone that would help give that athlete more support, care, then that will reinforce the positive body image to help handle depression, anxiety, substance abuse, and so forth.
Now, we know, and Dan, you could probably chime in on this. We talk about substance abuse, and I've been around when after this all pent-up frustration or this anxiety of preparing for a game and the stress of all that, and when that's over with, there's a lot of celebration that goes on, sometimes to the excess, I would think.
Yeah.
How can parents watch that and try to get a handle on that? Because oftentimes, those are the parties that usually get into the newspaper. Forget about the great things they're doing, say, going to hospitals and visiting and volunteering and all their little charity work. As soon as something is said negative, that hits the headlines. So what can parents be doing to just stay on top of that, Dan?
I think, just to follow up with what Dr. Shininsky and Jackie said, there's just an educational piece that mom, dad, guardian, grandma, uncle, aunt needs to have in their pocket, and that is surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with good coaches. Surround your kids with other good kids to make sure that you can prevent a lot of these things from happening. Are you supposed to be around your child 24 hours out of the day? No, but if I can educate parents, or if you can help educate parents on what goes on during a typical day of an athlete, what are the peer pressures? What are the choices that a lot of these athletes will make? Who are the friends that a lot of these athletes hang around? Who are these athletes attracting from girls or women to the drugs, to the alcohol? There are a lot of addictions that come along with being an athlete, actually just being a human being. But since we're talking about student-athletes, there's just a lot of addictions and a lot of they're magnets. And you just want to make sure, just as that guardian or that parent, that I can identify with certain behavioral changes or emotions that my kid may be going through based off of success, based off of wins or losses. There's just a lot of scenarios that take place, so just surrounding yourself and educating, I think that's the thing that I would definitely just recommend to everyone that's out there listening, that coach doesn't know it all.
Well, you're absolutely right there, Dan. I just want to just say here, talk about, we always hear the it factor. I'm it. Believe in your own press. Believe in everything that's said positive about you. But really not realizing that, people are caught up in the moment. Because the moment that something is said negative about you, it's going to be 10 times. So, again, Dr. Shininsky, talk about coping with that.
Well, at a very early age, it's important to be able to teach your elite athlete and student and child that they're not all that in a bag of chips. The reality is that they're not as good as people might say they are, and they're not as bad as other people might say they are. The reality is that there's more to them than being an athlete. And if you can help them, and I've had principals of schools all over ask me, you know, Doc, I want you to come in. I don't want you to make them a better athlete. I want you to make them a better person. And if you can have someone who possesses the myriad of talents and skills and personality characteristics, from understanding who they are, their self-worth, they know where they end and someone else begins, they know the difference between a good friend and someone who's just going to exploit them, they have the assertiveness to be able to say no and detach from negative influences, but that all starts at a young place, and parents have to take an active role, because if you don't share your values, if you don't give your child limits, somebody else is going to teach them what the values and limits are, and they're probably not going to be what you want as the parent. You're the number one influence on your child's life, and so helping them to understand who they are, where they want to go, and how to make appropriate decisions is a wonderful tool that any parent at a young age can give to their child.
I agree with you totally on that, and I want to add that in colleges, you want to follow the NCAA rules. You want to stay eligible. You want to make sure you're not taking benefits. You want to make sure you're not taking, in other words, hanging out with people that's going to cause you to give the appearance of taking benefits. You want to make sure you stay on top of that eligibility, both academically as well as any kind of monetary gifts or anything like that. Because that, I've seen so many athletes fall by the wayside for just that little reason. Taking a car for one weekend, or taking a job and taking extra money, or parents taking money for apartments. Because when you are a leader out there, people want to be close to you, and they'll pay any price to get close to you. But when you fail, they disappear, and we see that oftentimes. Jackie, I want to talk a little bit about the dynamics between the parents and the athletes, because a lot of people don't write a lot about this, but I've experienced it and I've seen it, whereas parents sometimes cross the line and become hero worshipers as opposed to being parents. Give our parents out there some guidelines to follow so that they will not fall into that trap, because parents have to be the first defense for these athletes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and the first word that comes to my mind is boundaries. You know, a lot of parents want the best for their child, but there's a fine line between being supportive and being overbearing and pushing them too hard and living out their own dreams rather than being supportive of their child, who's the athlete, and doing the sport because they love it. In terms of pushing them too far, like I said, boundaries is one of the most important aspects to consider in making sure that they are playing the role of a parent, and that's their role, and that's it.
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely, and I agree with you totally with that. And remember, parents, also, do not let agents talk to your student-athletes. You want to make sure that agents go directly through you and work through the pro consul at all your schools to ensure, again, that there's no violations, and, of course, the question of eligibility here. We're going to get kind of like into our late hour here. I want to talk a little bit in these last few minutes, Dr. Chinesky, about just the dynamic qualities that an athlete develops, from the individual to the leader, to the legacy. And then, of course, they wake up, and like everyday folks, they got to get a job. Talk a little bit about that dynamic for me.
Certainly. When you have someone who is successful at a young age in some particular arena, they get a pretty strong sense of who they are in that area. And there's a lot of success, and they get a lot of attention, and so their self-worth is tied to that. And there's an unfortunate reality that we're talking about, the statistical facts that the 99 out of 100 of these young adults are not going to go pro in their sport. And it's just a statistical number across the board. So you have these young adults who haven't prepared themselves in the whole kind of identity of who they are. And so you end up having individuals who are anticipating a certain lifestyle that waits ahead of them, that people are always going to be paying them, you know, with great honors, and they're going to be giving them gifts, and they're going to be making tons of money. But there is an incredible level of lost identity once they discover that either they can't make it at the college ranks or they can't make it in the pro ranks. And we see individuals who lose a sense of who they are. There's a sense of confusion, insecurity, lost identity, a sense of pessimism and self-doubt where they no longer are getting everything offered to them, but now they have to engage the world in skills that they haven't prepared. There's going to be, obviously, the need for seeking a job and being able to fit in and be accepted for things outside of the traditional athletic world. So these individuals, unfortunately, are very much at risk of developing what are called at-risk behaviors, turning to alcohol or drugs. There's a tendency of seeing more aggression when, unfortunately, they're not able to maintain the same kind of identity. Interpersonal relations struggle. They make bad decisions. So it's really important for families to realize that if they don't want to have these at-risk behaviors later on, they need to address them early on and provide them with the tools that help them to see who they are, which is far beyond the single focus of being an athlete. And the parents need to be able to teach their children at a very young age of who they are, what their self-worth is, far beyond just the one area. Because if you're, as Dan said, if you put all your eggs in one basket, we end up with individuals who have lost their ability. They've lost the talent that gave them their whole identity.
So the real key here is, particularly in Athlete's Connection, is to awaken the giant again and help it make that transition to the business world by accessing the actual positives and basically, you know, making sure that any negatives that are there, that in fact that they're dealt with prior to, say, working with an employer or something like that. And that's what makes this program so dynamic. What a dynamic opportunity here for these young men out here to have such a program like this. Dan, I'm going to let you have the last word here, okay? And why don't you tell us what you've got happening in the near future. I know you've got some things happening next week and then some upcoming things. Will you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure will. We have an event at the Citrus Restaurant August 25th from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the downtown Orlando area. And it's just to bring community awareness to our organization, to raise some funds. As a nonprofit organization, this is it's difficult times to try to provide services for student athletes and provide a lot of things that come along with this, making this organization successful. So putting together just an event for our guests, for our sponsors, to just help promote what we're doing. We also have a pilot program that was actually canceled today and tomorrow due to tropical storm Faye that has kind of taken over the whole state, and so we're having to reschedule our pilot program, which will allow us to market and to advertise throughout the state, throughout the country, to universities, just touching on the products and services that we provide to student athletes. The fundraisers we have coming up as well. So we're just very busy right now and asking for support from actually the entire country, the entire world.
That's right. You're a nonprofit organization, so tell people exactly where they can contact you in order to make a donation and become a friend of Athlete Connection. Tell them how they can reach you.
Two ways you can reach us, very easy ways. You can go to our website, athleteconnections.org. Again, athleteconnections.org. And you can learn more about us. You can contact us immediately via email, via phone. Find out more sponsorship information about
If they want to send money to you, where can they send that money? What's your address there?
P.O. Box 781301. Again, P.O. Box 781301. Orlando, Florida 32878. Again, Orlando, Florida 32878. You can even call us 403-6446. Again, area code 407-403-6446 to find out more information.
Excellent. Well, we're just about out of time here, folks. I want to thank my special guest, Dan Kroll, CEO and President of Athletes Connection, for joining us tonight. Remember, that's Athletes Lead without the S. And also, Dr. Shaninsky, thank you again. I hope you'll come back and visit us again. We really enjoyed having you here. And, of course, the lovely Jackie Williams. Jackie, thank you again for being here with us. And we're looking forward to hopefully you'll visit us again.
Absolutely.
Again, the Sports Maverick. We'll see you next Tuesday. It's Adi Moya, your host. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.